Good evening. I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach. When Pastor Finn asked me to preach, I told him, thank you for the opportunity. I'm sorry you're not feeling well, but I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to preach here and just want to thank him. I'm assuming he's going to hear eventually. Thank him for the opportunity to let me speak here tonight. And I've really enjoyed being a part of this church. It's been a blessing, big encouragement in my life this last. I won't officially join, but I've been here on Sunday nights for at least over a year now. But very thankful for that. But tonight we'll be in Jeremiah chapter 1. And we've been going over the books of the Bible in Sunday school. And Jeremiah chapter 1 is a very encouraging one to me personally when I was going over this message again. That's how God called and used Jeremiah. But Jeremiah chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 1, we'll start in verse number 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee, to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Let's go on and pray. Dear Lord, thank you for opportunity to be here tonight. Thank you for your word. I just pray, Lord, you will use this message to be an encouragement and a help. I want to pray you help me to speak clearly what you have spoken. I want to pray that these would be your words and not my words, that you would speak through me and that you would use this for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So people who have studied the Bible have called Jeremiah the weeping prophet. This is because of how he weeps over the people of Israel. He served his entire ministry and yet had little to no converts for the entirety of his ministry. How could he keep going? That would be pretty rough. Just serving and serving for years and having seemingly no results. What was his motivation? If God said go, he went. If God said stay, he stayed. If God said preach, he preached. He just followed the Lord step by step along the way. And we'll see here what it was that kept Jeremiah going and the call that God had for him. One very important thing that stands out to me and is actually just in verse 5 right here, it says that before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, that God knows you personally. God knows us personally. And God knew you and had a plan for you even before you were born. He knew exactly what he wanted you to do. He knew you would be born and knew what he wanted you to do. In Psalms 139, verse 13 and 14, the Bible says, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. We need to remember that God had a plan for us before we were even born. And part of God knowing us personally is he also knows our limitations. He knows that we are men and we're just humans. Psalms 103:14 says, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. He knows who we are, that we are weak and incapable of ourselves to do anything for him. But he also knows that with him, all things are possible. But God does know us personally. He knows our limitations. And he also knows every single last detail about you. Luke 12:7 says, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. There's nothing really more comforting than knowing that God knows me personally, and knows how to take care of me, but also I know that he has a plan for my life. And that's what we can all take comfort in that. That's part of what kept Jeremiah faithful, is knowing that God had called him to this and knowing what he had a plan for. So God knows you personally, and God has a very specific plan for you. So when I'm saying the word plan, that can be taken two different ways, and everything in the message really goes for both of them. So think about the short-term plan of what does God want you to do right now? Today, in this very specific day, what does God want you to do? Think about just being faithful to church, growing closer to Him, seeking His face, knowing Him, witnessing, just being faithful to Him in your everyday life. The short-term plan, as well as the long-term plan of your, or as younger ones here, and the older ones, what God wants you to do in the long term. Think about what He wants you to do, and just, when I say the word plan, think about both of those aspects. It's for both of those, short-term and long-term plans. So God has a specific plan for you. And again in verse 5, at the end of it, He says, "And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." God knew that He wanted Jeremiah to be a prophet unto the nations. Not just Israel, but also to all the nations. He wanted him to be faithful and preach His word to anyone and everyone that God told him to preach to. But when God gives us a plan or a specific job, short-term or long-term, we have a choice to make. We have a choice to accept what God's plan is or reject it. When first off, God says that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you're not sure that you're saved today, that you're going to go to heaven when you die, that's the very first step that God wants you to take, is to trust in Him for salvation. He died on the cross to save you from your sins. He offers you the free gift of salvation. You just need to accept it. That is the very first thing that we can start in God's plan for your life. But we Christians can also just accept or reject God's plan for our lives on an everyday basis. We have that choice. There's two example of each one of those in the Bible. There was a man in the Bible who resisted God's plan and abused His plan for his life, even though he was Old Testament, but he was a Jew who would follow Christ. His name was Samson. Samson had a very specific plan that God wanted him to do, but what did he do about it? He kind of fulfilled it half-heartedly, did it in his own strength. But the angel of the Lord announced that Samson would be born and gave the purpose that he should fulfill. And Samson, his entire life, relied on his own strength and pride to do what God wanted him to do. He constantly fell for women. He was constantly falling for adulterous women. He had overconfidence in his strength against the enemy. He was constantly disobeying the rules, the Nazarite vow that he was supposed to follow. And he was deceived by Delilah, which ultimately led to his death. And whatever thing about Samson, God did use him in spite of his failures. We can praise the Lord for that. But how much more could have he done if he had actually done it God's way? We don't even know the impact that would have had. The Bible doesn't record that part. But he did not follow God's plan for his life the way he should have. And another man in the Bible who did follow God's plan for his life. This is John the Baptist. He fulfilled his purpose and submitted to the Lord's leading. He preached the word, announcing God's soon coming and ministry. He pointed others to the Lord. He deferred praise and fellowship to the Lord instead of himself. He was not jealous when Christ was stealing his disciples. Remember one passage where John's disciples came to him and said, "This man's stealing all of your disciples." He's like, "Great, he's the one they should follow instead of me. Follow him." He was a great example of following Christ the right way. So those are the two choices we have. We can accept God's plan for our life or reject it and go our own way. And that is something that we need to decide today, what we should do. And I got encouragement for you. If you are like or are considering being like Samson, who went off on his own way, today is the day to make that change and to decide by God's grace, I will come back to the past God has for me. As long as you're breathing, there's time to change, and there's time to make the right choice. So let's determine to be like John the Baptist. But God knows you personally. He knows your limitations, and he knows your reservations. He knows what makes you nervous. Again, he knows you. He knows what makes you nervous. We can all give excuses for not doing what we should, what we know we should do, but God already knows what your fears are. In Jeremiah 1, chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." He was like, who was in the Bible that said something like that? Remember who that was? Moses. That was Moses. And when God first put in my heart that I would be preaching, I was just like Moses. I told a friend of mine, no, I can't speak in front of people. But he says, who said that? Moses. You're just like Moses. And he keeps telling me that to this day. He always says that to me now. But I'm very thankful for him. He's a very good friend. But God knows your limitations. But along with that, in verse 6, that also shows some fear. He has some fear for what people would say, or what people would think, or do to him. Because in verse 8, it says, "Be not afraid of their faces." It shows that God's answering his fear of being afraid of them. So God knows the reservations, but he wants us to trust him. I really love the story of Moses, how God gave him Aaron, who would be a spokesperson for him, but who still ended up speaking most of the time. Moses still spoke most of the time. God does help us in our fears, giving us the help we need, but he takes all the excuses we have, and we still have the choice of obeying him or not obeying him. I'm sure we can all relate to Jeremiah in this case. God told us to do something, short-term and long-term. Like one short-term thing that God has been working on me on is being a better witness for him. There are some recent times where I know I've failed him in that. Like, I'm just so nervous. I'm nervous of what people will say or think. But really, what's the worst that can happen? They'll tell you no. That's not that scary. But we need to know that relying on God's grace to do what he wants us to do. We know what God wants us to do, but we get nervous about it, doubting it, that we have the ability to do it. That's another fear I had about preaching, was doubting that I could actually do it. But that's exactly the point. We can't do it. In our own strength, we cannot do what God wants us to do. We cannot be faithful to him on a daily basis without God's strength. We can't even reach the long-term goal that God has for us without God's strength. It is God that gives the ability. So God knows your personality. God knows you personally. He knows your reservations. And God gives you the ability. This is the best part. In verse 8, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." In verse 8, God gives the promise, "I am with thee." God was not going to send Jeremiah to this idolatrous nation that he was supposed to be preaching to. He wasn't going to send him there by himself. He says, "I'm going to be with thee." And today, in this New Testament era, we have Hebrews 13:5. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." God promises that he will always be with us no matter where we go when he's sending us there. In verse 9, God touched his mouth and gave him the words to say. In verse 9, "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." So God touched him and put his words in his mouth for him to say. And today, we have God's word right here. This is what we're supposed to be preaching and teaching. And the Bible says that we're all to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's not just for pastors and evangelists and missionaries. That's for every single one of us. We're going to be preaching God's word. And God gave him what to say. And along with that, God has given him the power to do so. God gives us the power to obey him in every way. Ephesians 4:11. Pastor has recently preached on the spiritual gifts that he's given to the body of Christ. And those spiritual gifts are God giving us the ability to do what he's called us to do. We all have different abilities, different talents, but the spiritual gifts, God does give to each and every one of us supernaturally. And it's by God, not by us, who is doing it. Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So God has given us the ability and the power to do his will. In John 15:5, the Bible says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth me, and I him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And this last phrase, for without me, ye can do nothing. So what has God called you to do, either short-term or long-term? Are you afraid of it? Or are you just deciding, I don't want to go that direction, I want to go my own way in my own life? That would be like Samson. And yes, God still used him in spite of that, but his life was not as joyful or peaceful, and I believe he did not accomplish as much as God wanted him to accomplish by not following God's plan for his life. But John 15:5 says, he is the vine, we are the branches. To be in the vine, we need to be close to God, studying God's word, and meditating in God's word, getting to know who God is. That's where our strength comes from to complete anything God wants us to do. We need to abide in him, and he will abide in us, and he will bring forth much fruit through us. And it's not us bringing forth the fruit. If you cut off the vine, the branch from the vine, what happens to the branch? It dies. And it's good for nothing. And God is the vine, and we're in the branches. We need to be tied into him and connected to him. But how did Jeremiah go his whole life staying faithful to God? He knew that God knew him personally and had a very specific plan for him. And he knew what that plan was. God had told him. And God knew his limitations. He knew that he may have been young. I'm not sure how old he was at that point. But he knew his fear, and God still used him and gave him the strength to overcome those things. He was very afraid to do so. He would suffer persecution. He had no converts his entire ministry. He was just serving God faithfully and faithfully, constantly. And God has a very specific plan for you too. Every single one of us, God has a plan for. And God wants us to be searching his word and being close to him to know what that plan is. And I've heard it said before that if you do what God wants you to do now, what you need to do 10 years from now is going to take care of itself by doing what God wants you to do right now. So don't think too much about the long term. Think about what God wants us to do every day, step of the way. The steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord. The verse does not say the leaps and jumps of the good man. The steps, every step of the way is guided by God. We don't need to know the long term. We just need to be faithful in the short term and let God take care of the long term. And the only emphasis I want to drive home is God gives the ability. We can't do it on our own. I've tried doing it on my own. It never works. God gives the ability to do it, to be faithful in every area of life. And I've fallen flat on my face before trying to do it in my own strength and gotten frustrated and depressed over it. But we realize that God is the one that gives me the strength. When Eric steps back and lets God take control, that's when God will bless and God will give peace and joy in your life, is through that time. Just remember, whatever God has planned for you, and mainly focusing on the short term at this point, what God has planned for you to do tomorrow, you know what it is. Be faithful to it, obey it, and God will give you the ability to do it. It's in His strength. Just don't rely on yourself to do it. I've loved Pastor Finney's messages on Romans 12. He's emphasizing that it's through Christ's strength. When we focus on Christ and off of ourselves, that's when God gives us the ability to be faithful to Him. It's impossible to do it in our own strengths. Just be faithful to Him. It's in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak from a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go unto all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. So we'll go back to the Samson and the John the Baptist example. Which one are you going to be today? Samson, the one that just rejects God's plan? Or like John the Baptist and Jeremiah, who accepted God's plan and let God use them and bless them? Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for your opportunity to speak today, and thank you for your word. Now this applies to us. I want to pray you would use this message in all of our lives to be faithful to you. And Lord, not in our own strengths. It's impossible to be faithful to you in our own strengths, but to rely on your ability to give us the strength to do your will. And I pray you would bless us. In Jesus' name we pray.